We are back. You're listening to You Would Think, the Philly Sports Podcast. I'm your host, Kyle Connington, and joining me, as always, it's Mike Giletto.
What's up, buddy?
How you doing?
How are you?
Good. And as requested, we also bring you the return of Mr. Mike Giletto Sr.
How are you? Always nice to be requested.
Good. Now, before we get into today's show, I'm here to tell you can find the show on Twitter at YWT Podcast. You can find me at K Collington and Mike at Mike underscore Giletto. You can't find Mike Sr. anywhere, but you know.
I might have to change that.
You might have to. You can also find the show on Facebook, Instagram, Podbean, iTunes, Google Podcast, LastWordOnSports.com, and our YouTube channel. Now, we got a lot to talk about today. And usually before the show, we kind of chit-chat about what we're going to talk about, and I just realized that we didn't really do that at all.
Nope.
So
let's wing it. We do it every week anyway. Why not?
Yeah, let's start off with the Phillies. They have...
Ding dong, the witch is dead. Move on.
Right. So that whole deal about playing meaningful baseball in September is kind of out the window.
They play one meaningful game in September, right. I think.
Although I would say that, you know, these games are still meaningful in terms of playing with pride and playing for next
They're
year.
Professional athletes. You don't play for pride. You play to win.
What?
You don't play for pride.
Like, yes, you play to win, but you also play for... Yes,
you're a professional athlete. At the age of 12, when you're playing, like, peewee football, yeah, sure, you play for pride.
So they should just roll over and die? That's
basically,
that's,
yes. Okay. You don't play for pride when you're a professional athlete.
Mike Sr., please, for the love of God, back me up here.
Getting back to the original premise of playing meaningful September baseball, they did that. They just lost them all.
Yeah, they did. They had an awful month of September. Correct. They've been really bad for the last 6 weeks.
Yes.
And that's what cost you the playoff run.
Yep.
You know, we talked a month ago about these last seven games against the Braves, you know, seven of the last 11, maybe deciding the division and being a really huge couple of series, and they just threw that out the window. They really spit the bit on that.
Yeah, it was a major collapse.
Just pitching, fielding. Hitting's always been bad all year.
The fielding. The fielding's been
The fielding's bad. But the pitching kept them in the games, you know, first half of the year, and they just shit the bed.
The pitching eventually did stop.
I'm still flabbergasted about you don't play for pride.
You don't play for pride when you're a professional athlete.
Well, you play with pride. You don't play for pride, but every day of your professional life, you're supposed to play with pride.
You're supposed to play like a professional athlete. You're getting paid $1 million a day to play play a game.
But there's no moral victories here. You're a professional
That's
athlete.
That's different than playing with pride.
Yes, no, he said this, you have to play
for pride.
You know, from here on out for pride. You're out, so just play for pride.
Play to win games. Yes. Play to get yourself set up for next year.
Exactly.
That's pride,
play
man.
To win games. No, no pride.
You just said they should roll over and die.
I didn't say that.
If you step on the field, you play to win. That's
exactly.
I never got paid to win the game.
Yeah, I never got paid a second of any sporting event I've ever played, and I've always played as hard as I can because that's who I am.
Yeah, and that's what you need to be a professional athlete, in my opinion. And if you're not playing 100%, get out.
That's different. You said you know they have to win for pride, basically.
No. I didn't say win for pride.
No,
I said
they have to win
for pride.
They have to win for his bet.
They have to win for my bet. They have to win for my bet. Do we want to congratulate the Braves?
No.
No, you're right. Good call. Moving on.
Yeah.
They're going to get steamrolled in the NLDS anyway.
You think so, though? I mean, who are they going to go against?
Okay. Do they beat the Cubs in a series?
No.
Do they beat the Dodgers in a series?
No.
They're probably going to play one of those two teams.
Well,
next question.
Cubs, I'm actually not sold on. The Dodgers, they lose. But the Cubs, they might make it a series.
Well, it's baseball, and there's no American League team like Boston or Houston involved.
In the NL,
involved.
Right.
Or the Yankees.
Anybody can win. That's a different conversation. But they wouldn't be favored against the Dodgers or the Cubs. But they could beat them.
Yeah, I just
the
don't
Dodgers
think...
don't have major pitching outside of Kershaw, and he doesn't pitch well in the playoffs. So they could beat them.
That's fair, but you know, I don't know. I think it's a sweep. Maybe they take one game, but it's not even close.
It's the first time in they're up against it. Now I wouldn't expect them to do much, but I wouldn't be shocked if they went into the second round or something like that.
Okay. That's up to you. I'm sure Scott thinks they're going to win the World Series.
But well, Scott's going to be disappointed. But
you know what?
Listen, they have a young kid, this Acuna kid. He seems like a hell of a player. So they have that going for them.
This bet is pretty big for me because the Phillies are currently, I believe, two games above 500. So these last seven games against the Braves are pretty important for my sake. You know, they're not important for the standings, and hopefully the Braves go into cruise control September call-up mode.
And September call-ups are dumb, by the way.
I mean, I don't necessarily
they're
disagree
stupid.
With you.
How do you expand the roster to 40?
Well, what happens is they have 25 guys and then they expand it to 40.
Yeah, no, I think it's because
they expand it too far. It's going way to 30 too should far. Be max.
I agree. Having a couple extra
29, 30, it's fine.
Having a couple extra guys so your playoff teams can rotate in some rest makes sense.
It's just different baseball. But it's a different game.
Yeah, you're playing spring training baseball at that point.
It's just a different game.
No, I agree.
Because now pitchers go 2-3 innings because they have 17 guys in the bullpen.
Yeah, the teams that are bad call up all their young guys to give them a shot. And all the teams who are locked up into playoff spots call up their young guys to rest the vets for the playoffs. And then the teams in the middle are, you know, it all depends on who you play. If you play against teams who are also fighting for a playoff spot, you're playing actual real baseball. And if you're playing against the top five teams or the bottom 10 teams, you're playing against the spring training roster.
Yeah.
So I get that. We were both wrong on our Eagles prediction last week.
So was everybody. Shocker.
That's fair. I think I called a 3-touchdown win.
Yeah, you did.
That sure didn't happen.
Well, you almost got that, just in the opposite direction.
Yeah. I did say you had to be scared of DeSean Jackson. What did he do? 75-yard bomb the first play of the game.
Yeah, you would think that Doug Peterson knows that that's got to be a potential, right? Because he came from the Andy Reid coaching tree, and Andy Reid loves the 80-yard play on the first play of the game. So, you know, you got to kind of be prepared for that. And Doug Peterson's shown that he's willing to do it.
Yeah, well, you know, let's jump back on the Wentz wagon because he's back.
Carson Wentz is back, and they released that news on Monday.
It seemed like it was minutes after the game on Sunday.
Yeah, he was probably close. He might have even been cleared before the game, if you ask me.
They probably were going to sit him until...
If he doesn't have the training and the rep time...
Well, no, they were probably just going to sit him until they lost the game. You have no reason to.
I totally believe that's correct. I think he was going to sit until they had a one next to their loss column.
I think that makes sense. Because if you clear him... And you're undefeated at 4-0, say. Now you got a controversy. Whereas,
I don't know if there ever going to be a controversy.
If you're 4-0, if Nick Foles has led you to 4 victories.
It depends how well he's played. Because that first game, he looked
awesome.
No, it
doesn't.
Yes, it does.
No, it does not. If you're 4-0, you don't change anything. Unless you have to due to injury.
When I say I would have sat, I think he would have been sat until he had the one loss. I don't think it had anything to do with Foles. Foles could have been at a 130 quarterback rating or a 30 quarterback rating. I don't think they felt they needed to play Wentz until they had a loss and therefore give him the most healing possible.
I agree with that. Either way, Carson Wentz is back.
Thank God.
Yeah, we hope he's 100%. We don't really know because we're not going to know until we see it. If that leg's still bothering him, he might have a hard time pushing off. He might have a hard time, he might be a little more shy when it comes to running the ball. Because he's always been one to put his head down and go for the extra 3 yards. Does he slide more? Does he get out of bounds quicker? Like, does it affect him?
It might affect him mentally.
That's what I'm saying. The kid is young,
I mean, we saw the same thing with Deshaun Watson. When he came back for the Texans, the first 2 games, he looked bad just because mentally he just didn't have it. Same injury, so I don't know.
Yeah, and hopefully Carson Wentz is ready to go. And hopefully the rest of the team around them is...
It's going to take one big hit for him to say, all right, I'm good to go.
Yeah, once a defensive lineman dives at his legs and he can pop back up, knock on wood, he can pop back up, then I think he'll be okay and he'll shake the rust off.
Yeah, mentally, I think he'll be fine. I don't think it really will affect him other than maybe being a little safer in certain situations. But the one thing that you won't know, it's like going to war with rubber bullets. Unless, you can dodge a rubber bullet, you can't dodge a real bullet. So until it's real and he's running away from someone or getting hit by someone, you don't know how the knee's going to hold up.
Hey, if you can dodge a wrench, you can dodge a ball. Is that one of the best sports movies of all time, Mike?
It's a great movie.
And according to Mike Sr.'s definition, it's a sport.
Is dodgeball a sport?
There are spheres involved.
Correct. There's a ball and you do run. It is a sport.
And man, they played for pride in that
That's
movie.
A stretch. Sure. It's a great movie.
Okay.
Bold strategy.
But remember, the Titans isn't. Okay.
It's a very overrated movie.
All right. Hit me with some Eagles analysis for today. Give me a score.
Okay. So the score. I think the Eagles struggle to score. I really do.
Really?
With Wentz, yeah.
Okay.
Based on what?
I don't know.
Just a feeling
Just a feeling. Doug Peterson hasn't shown his play calling ability yet this season as he did last year in the playoffs?
Well, I think the fear there, and I think there's some accuracy in that statement, the fear there is that DeFilippo and Reich are sorely, sorely missed. If that's true, we got some problems.
Yeah. Also, was Doug Peterson being more cautious because it was Nick Foles?
Possible.
And in the playoffs, you're just going all out because you have to, because it's win or go home. But in week one of the regular season, when your actual starting quarterback isn't healthy yet, are you a little more conservative with Nick Foles? You know, do you keep him a little bit safer?
Here's my prediction.
Right? Does that make sense?
Yeah, it makes sense.
And now that Carson Wentz is back, but let it fly, because God forbid the worst happens and he gets hurt again, you still have Foles, the Super Bowl MVP.
You're saying you're going to be more careful with Nick Foles than you will be with your your franchise quarterback?
Listen, I'm not saying...
Who's just coming back.
I'm not saying more careful. I just mean Carson Wentz can do more creatively and as a playmaker than Nick Foles can.
Absolutely.
Yeah, he's going to be very conservative.
So I think that opens up the playbook.
No, but he's going to be very conservative today because he doesn't want to put his quarterback in harm's way when he's just coming back.
But if you call a shotgun wide four, you know, four wideouts, slant play, something where the quarterback should get rid of the ball quickly, if everybody's covered, Carson will tuck and go. Nick Foles would probably wait for an open man if he has the time.
I don't know if Carson will run for
the first down if it's third and three.
I don't know if he's going to run as much as you're saying he's going to, at least his first game.
I think you're wrong. I don't think he would come back if...
You also said they were going to win by three touchdowns last week, so we'll see how your predictions go.
I mean, you're right, but I don't think he would come back unless... I think he was itching to play.
I think he
was asking the doctor every day 2 weeks ago, so he's ready to go.
Of course. He saw this team that he fought with all season win the Super Bowl without him. He wants to come back as soon as possible.
Which, by the way, I think might have been the best thing to ever happen in Eagles history, because now you have your young franchise
winning a Super Bowl?
Well, winning the Super Bowl, but winning it with Nick Foles, because now your young franchise stud quarterback is still hungry.
He's hungry.
He didn't win a Super Bowl in his second year. He watched the team win a Super Bowl without him in his second year.
So
he's still got the fire and the hunger.
Right.
That might go down as the best injury in Eagles history.
So my prediction is, so you have Andrew Luck, who isn't back to his original self yet. He's been playing decent. He's been playing okay.
Yeah.
He hasn't been great. He hasn't been terrible. Let's go Colts 21, Eagles 13.
Wow.
Wow, you're saying they're going to lose?
Yeah.
I don't see that, and I think Luck's playing better than you're giving him credit for this first two games.
He's been playing. He hasn't been playing like Andrew Luck before the injury.
His throwing motion is still off.
Who have the Colts played the first 2 weeks? I don't know.
They beat Cincinnati, or did they lose to Cincinnati?
I don't remember.
They beat Washington in Washington.
Okay, so they haven't played a real NFL team yet.
They lost to Cincinnati, and they're 2-0, and they beat Washington. You can make the argument that Washington is not a great football team.
Right.
But the best part of that game for the Eagles is it was in Washington. And it's very difficult to go on the road to Washington, on the road to Philadelphia, and win two games in a row. So that's the biggest component to say the Eagles win this football game.
Yeah, they're only coming from Indianapolis,
but
it's
still
the environment.
It's going to the NFC. There's statistics on it. It's very difficult to go to two NFC East teams back-to-back on the road and win. It almost never happens.
Also, they got lucky from a scheduling perspective, because this game could have easily happened in November, December, when the weather's going to be a lot worse, and Indianapolis is a dome team.
Correct.
Right, so the fact that they get to come outside in Washington and Philadelphia in September?
I don't put stock in the dome teams and the hot weather teams.
There's something to it. There is definitely something to it. Watch Minnesota travel and you know there's something to it.
Right.
But more and the biggest thing in today's game is the Eagles defense. There's a home field thing to it component, but not as gross as it's been. They've given up 13 points a game the last 2 years at home. 27 points on the road.
Yeah.
That's a huge difference.
Big.
Yeah.
And
home field
if it continues that trend, I mean, you like to figure out what the issue is and fix it on the road, but you
easier
certainly
said than
keep
done.
Going, certainly keep going with it with the home thing. I don't see the Colts putting up a whole bunch of points.
I agree. And this is, you know, the second home game of the year. The first one, you know, you had the banner go up. You had the, you know, the ceremony and the Brian Dawkins and the lightning delay, you know, et cetera, et cetera. This is the first real home game, because the first one was a real home game, but the first one was a special occasion.
We're still partying.
Right. But
I mean, hell, there's still people partying. But
right. But now you get the Sunday 1 o'clock, tailgaters out at 8 a.m.
Wentz back.
Wentz is back.
It's going to be
place
jacked.
Is going to be nuts.
Yes.
Place
going
is going
to be jacked.
Insane.
It might be more jacked today than it was.
It might be
Thursday
more jacked
night.
For Carson Wentz. Yeah.
Now, do you think if when he goes out, say the first drive, Wentz throws a pick,
they don't touch. They don't pull him.
No, I know they're not going to pull him.
Okay.
What's the reaction? What's the reaction from the fans?
It's going to be all crap. Let's get the ball back.
They'll boo the interception, but they won't boo Carson Wentz next time he comes out for the next series.
I don't think so either. I was just curious on your.
You
take.
Might hear ugh. You're not going to hear boo.
It also depends on what kind of interception it is. If it's a tipped pass that falls into a defender's hands, nothing you can do. If he makes an awful read and throws the ball directly to a a cult, all right, you might hear a little bit. But again, I think they'll boo the interception more than Carson. And next time he comes out for the next series, he'll still get cheered.
Yeah.
The dude is, he's, you know.
I don't see him doing anything on a football field that gets him booed until at least October. He can hand the ball to the Colt linebacker and not get booed.
No, he's got a little bit of a grace period.
Yeah.
How long did it take Donnie Mack to get booed?
Right away.
Other than the draft.
We got to keep going back. He was not booed at the draft. That is a figment of his imagination.
He was not booed. The fact that they
did not pick
Ricky Williams.
Ricky Williams was booed. He was not booed. And he never got over it, and he's a gigantic baby.
I agree. Oh, no, I agree.
I think he's still an underrated quarterback.
Mike and I had a conversation. I don't remember if it was on the show. The fact that Donovan's number is retired.
Yeah. They were talking about this last week or 2 weeks ago, I think.
That's a joke. That's as bad as Lindros.
It's somewhere between it should be retired and a joke. It's somewhere in between there. He had a terrific career as an Eagle. As bad as but no, I don't think his jersey number should have been retired.
Oh, my God. All right, I'm not getting into this.
And he might have been the best Eagle quarterback. We'll see where that's true 5 years from now. I don't think it will be. But he probably was the best Eagle quarterback ever as of right now.
Okay.
You think so?
That's tough to say.
Is it possible?
Now,
not going Jaws?
The other names in the running, right, are Jaws, Randall Cunningham, and if you're going all the way back to Norm Van Brocklin, then it's tough to argue against him.
It's hard to, correct.
But I also understand that the game is entirely different than it was in 1960.
Right, post 1965 or 70.
The Super Bowl era.
McNabb's probably the best. I think McNabb had, Cunningham had a better skill set.
95-yard punt.
If he played with Andy Reid, he would probably be in the Hall of Fame with Super Bowls. I think he would have gotten Reid over the hump.
Is Randall Cunningham not in the Hall of Fame?
He's not.
Wow.
No.
Wow, that's a travesty.
I don't know if he should be.
I think he probably should be just for... He was the first real athletic quarterback. He was the first scrambler.
He was phenomenal.
He was Michael Vick before Michael Vick was Michael Vick. He was...
And he never had a coach.
Right. I agree. Buddy Ryan didn't care at all about the offense.
Kotite was awful. And Buddy Ryan literally wanted to prove he could win without offensive coaches.
Right.
He literally tried not to coach.
He told Randall Cunningham, he said, "I'm not going to coach you. Do your thing."
Correct.
I believe the quote was, "Score 2 touchdowns a game and let us handle it.
Make me 3 plays a game and we'll win." That was his quote.
Something like that. Yep. Yeah. It's unreal how good Buddy Ryan was defense.
Scary good.
On defense.
Yeah, absolutely.
You know, and then the offensive side of the ball, he didn't really care. He probably should have stayed as a defensive coordinator.
He hated Ditka so much, he wanted to win a Super Bowl without any offensive coaching at all, just to stick it in Ditka's face.
It's unreal. Yeah. And they almost did it, too.
Almost.
Like, it turns out when you have Reggie White and Seth Joiner.
But he was a great defensive mind.
He had the horses,
but he had a great defensive mind.
I agree. And, you know, I grew up in kind of the Jim Johnson defense era, and you could tell Buddy inspired him a little bit. He always played the aggressive 7, 8, 9 guys in the box.
Yeah, but he was more bend but don't break than Buddy was. Buddy was 3 and out. Yeah, take the ball from you and go score with it.
Yeah.
Much more than give up yards. He hated giving up yards too. Not
and
just
also
points.
Clear out your teeth on the way.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Buddy Ryan was mean, man. Yeah.
It's no accident that two of the top 5 defenses of all time were coached by Buddy Ryan. The 85 Bears and the 90 Bears. Pick your 90s Eagles defense.
92, 93.
They were the best. That was
back when Mike Golick was an Eagle.
He was part of it. Yeah.
Oh, that was fun. That was about the year I was born.
Okay.
Yep.
Then you'll have to take my word for it.
Indeed, I will. All right. So you have the Eagles losing, Mike.
I do, yep. 21-13.
Senior?
I'm going to say 27-16.
Who?
Eagles.
Okay.
Maybe 31-16.
Yeah. Now
it's a route.
I can make this prediction knowing what the weather looks like. It's a little rainy. Could be a little bit of a sloppy game. I think it's supposed to rain more later on.
Okay.
It's cool. You kind of got that winter weather coming in, autumn weather. I'm gonna go 20-13 Birds.
Okay.
Low scoring, couple of fumbles, couple of bad picks, maybe a missed kick or two. It's the kind of game where you miss a 35-yard field goal. Right?
Well, Jake Elliott's always going to miss a
chip
shot. He better
watch himself.
Yeah?
I don't think he's on the most solid
footing. He's not as safe as he might think he is. I think he knows it. I think he knows that it's unacceptable to be missing extra points and 29-yard field goals. Yeah. Like, you just can't.
No, you just can't.
I mean,
there's no other way to put it. You just can't.
Could be worse. It could be Zane Gonzalez from Cleveland.
Right.
Who has to be on suicide watch at this point.
Right. You would think.
You would think.
You would think. But the Cleveland Browns have won a game. So there's that.
Cleveland Browns have won a game. That's correct.
You would have thought they won the Super Bowl.
Did anyone find their celebrations a little bit bizarre?
That was the first game they won since before they passed on Carson Wentz in the draft. Yeah.
Like imagine this. We were starved for a championship. They were starved for a win.
A win.
A win.
They started celebrating after week one when they tied.
Yeah. You want to hear a great statistic? After week one?
It was their best start since 2004?
Correct.
Yeah. It's incredible.
After going 0-1.
0-1. Best start in 14 years. In 14 years. Oh, Ben, man, I'm sorry that your team is so bad.
Yeah, but the thing is, they should have won. I don't want to say should have the first game.
Oh,
the
second game, they should have won. Steelers 100%.
They could be 3-0.
They could be, yeah.
Easy.
That defense is very good.
They're very good. Like that kid Ward, is it? Or...
Denzel Ward, yeah, he is. Miles Garrett's a hell of a player. Yeah.
No, they definitely have talent.
Yeah, now you have Baker Mayfield, and he's going to lead this team to the playoffs.
Just wait until they run Baker Mayfield out of town.
They're not. They love Baker Mayfield.
They're going to find a way to screw it up. They're the Cleveland Browns.
He's a hell of a player.
They're going to find a way to screw it up.
They're going to win 6, 7, 8 games, and they should have won 12-13.
Is for them to continue the rest of the season to lose games that they should win. That's the best thing that can happen to them because they have to get rid of Hugh Jackson.
They have to.
If they go 8-8, 7-9, and they keep him around, it's going to be
terrible.
He's awful.
I mean, it's amazing that an injury had to get, you know, Baker Mayfield to start.
Yep.
Or not start, but to come
to
in.
To play. Like,
and they haven't even announced Baker taking the job. Like, it's his forever now. It's Baker's job. Take it.
Should be.
He hasn't said
it. He loses it.
He's like, hey, we're gonna go watch him film and see which one we want to go with next week. No, Baker Mayfield's your quarterback.
If I'm the owner of the Cleveland Browns, and my coach says, not Baker Mayfield, he's fired.
Well,
immediately.
I mean, he's trying to show some respect to Tyrod Taylor.
For what reason?
I don't know. It was right after the game.
He's not even a lifelong Brown. It's not like you don't owe him anything.
If I'm the owner of the Cleveland Browns, and my coach says the name Tyrod Taylor's our starting quarterback, his phone is ringing before he leaves the podium. Before he leaves the podium, I'm on the phone with him saying, find another job, you're fired.
Yeah, this is the same owner who watched the coach go 1-31 and didn't fire him.
Yep.
Yeah, Cleveland's a train wreck.
But they're 1-1-1. So
they are
1-1-1.
One.
If this was hockey, they'd have 3 points.
They sure would. What do you think about that, by the way?
Dumb.
The point for the overtime loss?
Stupid.
Awful.
Really?
Yep, you're awarding 3 points out of a possible 4.
So nobody
really loses.
Well, it's out of a possible 2. It should be, right?
I'm fine with the 1 point if they gave a 3 points for like a regulation win. That they need to do that.
Okay. I think if you do that, then the NHL is going to get too fine with it, and it's going to be 3 points for a regulation win, 2 points for an overtime win, and 1 point for a shootout win.
No.
That's what they'll do. They'll do that before they go to 3-1.
How about just play the overtime until somebody scores and then that team wins and the other team loses?
No, because they don't want to do
that.
They don't want to do
you can't
20
have,
minute overtime or 30 minute overtime.
You can't have triple overtime if the team's going back to back.
You're not
going to
have triple overtime with 3-on-3.
Three-on-3.
It's never going to happen. Yeah.
Oh, you just mean 5 minute 3-on-3 periods?
Do 10 minute 3-on-3.
Okay.
And then if you have to go to shootout, I hate the shootout, but then whoever wins the shootout wins the game. Okay. The other team loses the game.
Yeah, no other sport rewards you for. A tie.
Okay.
None. Or a loss.
Well, no other sport really has a tie. Basketball plays until there's a winner.
Football does.
Yeah, but how often are football games ties?
It's happened twice in 2 weeks.
Okay, but generally speaking, how many ties were there last year? One all year?
I don't know. I don't have the numbers. Probably 2 or 3.
There is not more than 2 or 3 a year.
Sure.
Fair?
Yeah.
On an average year. I understand that this year we're on pace for 16 of them. 17 of them.
Sure.
But...
It's just dumb on its surface. You're playing a game. Whoever wins gets 2 points. But if you lose this way, we're going to award 3 points. It makes no sense.
It's rough on the game, too, because you see coaches kind of playing to get to overtime instead of winning a regulation.
I don't think it kills the overtime at all.
But it's turned into just complete puck possession. And if you're good at the shootout, you just hold the puck. You don't even they go backwards now. It's like soccer.
I think the onus of that is on the other team. You have to attack.
It's hard to do through.
You can't attack.
I know.
And even if you do it, it's hard to do.
I know. And the first team that gets the puck generally holds it for a minute and a half.
They're skating in the zone, out of the zone. It's like the blue line isn't even there.
Honestly,
I like that aspect of it.
I like it if you know you're going to do it till somebody scores and wins.
It's a lot different.
I agree with that. That's fair. I'll give you that. I think if the overtime was 10 minutes,
you have a lot less shootouts.
I would like it a lot more. I agree. Because
it's turned into a different game than when the 3-on-3s first started. Like, it was back and forth. You know, the pace was
and
great.
And teams have adjusted.
Right, yeah. They realize it's all about
once you realize, here's how once you realize you can pass it back to your goalie while you're changing your line and, you know, keep possession, that's when it all changed.
Here's how to fix it.
And that changed
hockey.
Fairly quickly. That was that was the strategy by probably January or February the first year they put the 3-on-3 in.
Okay. Especially
teams learned quickly.
They did, especially the teams that were very good at the shootout.
Right. Here's how you fix overtime hockey. Just keep it 3-on-3, half ice.
Stop.
Let's go.
Stop. That might be the dumbest thing you've ever said. And
I've said a lot of dumb shit.
Yeah, you kept Remember the Titans off the best sports movies of all time.
How do you even logistically do it?
I don't know.
Do you put the nets against the boards in practice?
Yep. Why not?
You're an idiot. You're an absolute idiot.
Best idea I've ever had.
That is worse than Remember the Titans is not a great movie.
We've gotten off track here.
I would just like... we had no track. There's no track to go off if we had no track. I would just like to remind you, A, senior, you raised him.
I did.
B, he has brought a child into the world.
She's gorgeous and wonderful.
But that's
thank
fine.
God, thank God he did.
And we're
going to keep our
and
eyes
that's
on
great.
Her.
But like,
but I did raise him, but I raised him to think for himself.
You need to take a pretty heavy-handed role in that child's life or Mike's going to ruin her.
All right, moving on. Let's hear your dumbass prediction.
They're going to win by
2013.
Oh, you did say that.
Yes. I said that already.
Okay. I thought you were going to say they were going to win by 5-6 touchdowns.
No, we were actually transitioning really nicely because we were talking about your daughter, and you may or may not have named her after Carter Hart.
Depends on how – I'll tell you 10 years.
Okay. That's
We better know a lot less than 10 years.
Yeah. So the Flyers situation, for people that may not be paying super close attention to the preseason, which is fair. You know, it's the preseason. There's a lot of, you know, weird names on the roster.
A lot of people that won't be in Flyers uniforms ever.
Michael Neuwirth got hurt stretching the other day.
Michael Neuwirth.
You mean getting out of bed?
Well, I think he got hurt somewhere else and then tried to come in and stretch it out. He stretched for a very long time, according to Dave Isaac on Twitter. He stretched for a very long time and then skated off the ice, looked frustrated, slammed his stick on the boards or on the ice or on the bench or whatever, and had a long conversation with the trainer before he went back to the locker room. So that makes you think he's hurt. He did not play in the preseason game the other night.
Stolarz played.
Stolarz and Hart.
They split it up.
Yeah. And then Alex Lyon last week sustained an injury and is out for 4 weeks. Currently, the only healthy goalies on the roster are Brian Elliott, Carter Hart, and Anthony Stolarz. Now, if you look at all the Flyers' goalies, including the ones who are injured, Elliott hasn't really had a healthy season in about 5 years.
Or
a good one.
That's false.
Or a good one. Well, let's go with good one.
Healthy and also good. He's had good seasons and he's had healthy seasons, but they haven't overlapped.
Before he came here, he was in
St. Louis?
No, he was in Calgary and he was awful. Before he got to Calgary, St. Louis was good and they played a very defensive game, so he was really good in St. Louis.
He wasn't great.
He was good.
He's not great.
He's never been great anyway.
No, he's never been a number one elite goalie. Sure.
He's league average.
If he's, and you're giving him a lot of credit at league average.
Right. Okay, so anyway, there's your number one guy. Michael Neuwirth is Mr. Glass. Can't get out of bed without, you know,
and
breaking
not
his ankle.
Glass we're talking about.
Right, we're talking about actual, real, you know, shatterable glass.
Yeah.
Anthony Stolarz missed almost all of last season with a severe knee injury. He got his knee basically reconstructed.
Yep, he's still not an NHL player.
And he's not NHL caliber, even if he was completely healthy.
He's young, and a couple years ago he had potential, and we thought maybe he'll be a decent to mediocre starter. We never thought he was going to be a stud. We always thought he was going to be a Steve Mason, Michael Neuwirth, Brian Elliott.
Speaking of Steve Mason,
goalie.
With the amount of goalies who have gone down, he doesn't have a job.
He does not have a job.
So do you think Hextall maybe,
no.
if he gets desperate, doesn't want to bring Carter Hart up too early, sign
unless
Steve
you,
Mason for a
unless
one-year
you
deal.
Can get him for $800,000.
You can. He doesn't have
you
a job.
You probably can.
He got bought out. He doesn't have a job.
I don't think there's any way.
Let's hope not.
Right. Anyway, so you have Elliott, who's never been healthy and good in the same year. You have Neuwirth, who's never been healthy. Period.
Or good.
Or, well, he's been okay.
He's been fine.
He's been okay. He's a good backup.
He's a very good backup if he's healthy.
Stolarz, who's coming off a severe, insane, you know, 14-month injury.
Yep.
Alex Lyon, who's currently hurt, although doesn't really have much of an injury history.
He hasn't mentioned a name yet that I want to hear.
And also probably doesn't have too high of a ceiling. Again, he can kind of be that fine Brian Elliott, Michael Neuwirth level starter if he played a lot.
I don't think he'll ever get to that level.
Okay. I think he's got potential to get there. And Carter Hart.
Yay.
That's literally your five goalies right now. I'll ask you both, very simply, does Carter Hart make the team out of camp?
No.
I would like to see it happen.
Right.
I don't know what other choice they would have. I don't see the benefit to setting him down. You can either play in this league or you can't.
Well, he's either going to go down or he's either going to be up or Anthony Stolarz is probably going to be your backup this season.
Right, that makes no sense to me.
Right. And then in Lehigh Valley, you're going to have nobody, really. You're going to have Hart and whoever they call up from the Reading Royals.
I don't see what this kid has left to prove in the minors. I just don't see it.
Well, the minors are different than juniors. He hasn't played in the minors yet. That's the thing. His save percentage in the WHL was absurd.
Yep.
He set the record. You know, he was the WHL goalie of the year 3 years in a row. He was the CHL goalie of the year 2 years in a row. The kid's pedigree is a mile long.
Sure.
I don't buy into you're going to ruin him.
Neither do I. Not if he's the player you think he can be.
Because to me, it's okay. It's not about the mechanics. Because mechanically, we know from the WHL, he's the best goalie in WHL history. And that history includes Carey Price, by the way.
Carey Price was not in the WHL, I don't believe. Was he?
I believe he was. I'm not entirely positive. I'm pretty sure he was. Anyway, he's the best goalie in WHL history, stats-wise. Okay? Yep. So it cannot be a mechanical issue. If he had a mechanical issue, his numbers wouldn't be...
Yeah, he was. He played in the Tri-City Americans in the WHL.
Right. Because that's the goalie he kept getting compared to. That's why I knew that. He's got the best stats in WHL history. A history that includes Carey Price.
Sure.
Who has how many Vezina nominations?
Sure.
A bunch of them?
Yeah.
So it's not a mechanical issue. So the only issue it can possibly be is a mental issue, which is fair. Goalies are insane. I get it.
You have to be insane if you're willing to, you know, get shot with a 95-mile-an-hour puck.
At a real early age, you sign up to get hit with rubber 40 times a game. I understand. Goalies are nuts. So if it's an issue, it's got to be a mental issue. It's going to be a mental issue whenever he comes up, whether that's now or in 2022. If he's got mental issues, we need to learn ASAP so we can chip him off before the rest of the league figures it out.
If he is the player that you believe he is, then those mental issues will not be there.
They won't exist.
Exactly.
If this kid has the fortitude to start in the NHL, he should have most of that now.
Correct.
And you get him in now, and you have Brian Elliott, a vet who's been around the league for a very long time.
He doesn't have to carry every game.
Carter Hart does not have to start every game. If Carter Hart starts 25 games.
For the season?
For the season.
I'd like to see more, but...
That's a good number. Now,
yeah, how much you expect? I mean, you compared him to Carey Price. When Carey Price first came up, he was a backup to Yaroslav Halak.
Okay, how many games did he play his first year?
So
pull it up for me.
All right, hold on.
Yeah, but that's the situation. What was the need of the Canadiens
right, Yaroslav
at the time?
Halak was,
we need
right. Yaroslav Halak was still pretty good at that point.
He was decent. He was probably like a Michael or a Brian Elliott.
Okay, exactly. So I literally just said I want him to be the backup to Brian Elliott and play 25 games. I'm not saying he should come in and start 65. But if he starts 25 games, he plays your back-to-backs. He plays, you know, every fourth or fifth game when
Also, his first year, he played a lot more than I thought he did.
Okay. I wouldn't be surprised if it was a 50-50 split.
41.
Okay, and what were his stats? What was his goal again?
His rookie year, he 41 games. He had 2 assists, in case you care about that. 2.56 goals against average, 24-12-3, 920 save percentage.
Very good. That's
good numbers for a rookie.
Yeah, for sure.
If Carter Hart puts up close to that, right? If Carter Hart puts up 2.85 goals against with a 910 save.
That's weird. For some reason, they didn't trust him then, because I remember
you're
that.
You're very happy with that, aren't you?
No, but 2010 playoffs, didn't they play Halak in the playoffs? Which is weird.
Halak
Yeah, because Halak was their number one guy, and yeah, Price was still young at that point.
He's been on the team for 3 years at that point.
Yeah, but you're still paying Halak to be your starter.
Yeah, sure.
At that point, Carey Price was still proving himself. Also, I think he might have had a nagging injury at that point.
You don't miss the playoffs because of a nagging injury.
If you have somebody else who the team trusts just as much, sure. If Brian Elliott and Michael Neuwirth are both perfectly healthy, you're probably starting Brian Elliott.
Well, that's not going to happen because Michael Neuwirth is never perfectly healthy.
If they're both perfectly healthy, you're probably starting Brian Elliott.
Sure.
If Brian Elliott's at 85%, you're probably starting Michael Neuwirth.
Sure.
It's the same thing.
But Michael Neuwirth would never be at 100% ever.
Yeah, obviously.
All I keep thinking, and the reason why I want to see him here at some point during the season, if not to start the season, is Patrick Roy, Ken Dryden, goalies of that ilk, who Matt Murray, who were Stanley Cup champions before they were rookies of the year.
Yep.
Okay. The goalie position can be done. You can be great at a very, very early age. And if this kid is great, let's go.
He's going to have to prove himself eventually. Why not now?
Yeah.
And if this... Okay.
But Hextall's always had a very patient approach.
I understand. And that's why, full disclosure, I don't think he's going to be on the main team.
Yeah, I don't either.
This is my case for it. And it's not, oh my God, I love Carter Hart. He's going to dominate. Like, no.
You are a fangirl.
I'm a fan. Yes.
You're a fangirl, yes.
Do I want him to start 65 games? Probably not. No. Not unless he plays out of his mind in his first five appearances.
Yeah, I do.
Right. If he plays out of his mind his first five appearances and it's three shutouts and 2 one-goal games, give him the crease. Give him the crease. But I'm willing to be patient. I'm willing to take the time. I'm willing to trade Michael Neuwirth for a 7th-round pick and the Flyers eat half the salary. Like, I'm willing to make the room for him. I don't think they're going to. But I think about where the team's at.
Sure.
This team took a step forward from last year, would you say?
I agree with that.
On paper.
James Van Riemsdyk in, Val Filppula and...
Matt Reed
out in the forward core.
Brandon Manning out
and maybe Philippe Myers in. You know, we'll talk about that a little more as we go on here. But overall, this team probably got better.
Sure.
Okay?
Yep.
So...
The young players are a year older. They should be better.
The young players are a year older, but also so are the old players, right? Claude Giroux is 30. Jake Voracek, I think, is 29. Wayne Simmonds is 28. They're not old, but they're starting to get towards the back end of their absolute prime. Is that fair to say?
Yeah.
Senior?
They're still
in it.
Yeah. You know,
right. Yeah, but if you spend this whole season dealing with growing pains in your defense... Mike doesn't think this is a championship team right now. And I don't necessarily disagree with you. I'm not fighting you on that. But if you don't think they're a championship team this year, what do you do to get to championship level next year? Does Carter Hart playing 25 games this year, getting his feet wet, getting all his rookie starter nerves out of the way, and then next year taking over a 55, 60-game start, does that help you win a championship next year? Yes or no?
Hold on.
No. Yes or no?
Sure. Here, I'm going to make the case for Carter Hart making the team this year.
You understand where I'm coming from, though?
Yeah, no, listen.
Get all your learning.
I'm not going to talk. You talk amongst yourselves. Go ahead.
Well, I was trying to finish a point, and you cut me off.
Okay, well, I was trying to make a point.
Or didn't acknowledge the point, which was a valid point.
Right.
I would actually like to see him have some starts this year when you're probably not going to win the
case.
Stanley Cup.
I'm going to make the case.
How's your chances of winning the Stanley Cup next year?
I agree. Go ahead, Junior.
I'm going to make the case for him making the team.
Okay.
So you said I don't think this is a Stanley Cup winning team the way it sits right now.
And I don't disagree with you.
And I think the main reason why is because of Brian Elliott and Michael Neuwirth. I know that they're not Cup winning, you know, goalies.
That is completely valid. I agree with you on that.
I don't know
point.
If Carter Hart is yet, so right. Why the hell not?
Right, exactly.
Why not?
Get all of your learning pains out of the way this year when you still have, you know, a 23-year-old, 22-year-old Ivan Provorov and a 21-year-old Travis Konecny, and your young players are still insanely young. Nolan Patrick is 19, yep. 20 years old. And you still have Claude Giroux this year Claude Giroux will be 30, turning 31.
Yep. And you could kiss Wayne Simmonds goodbye. He's gone.
That's fine. I'm not even going to mention him. So this year... Claude Giroux will be 30, turning 31, I believe.
Something like that, yeah.
Right. So if you're not a championship caliber team this year because of your goaltending situation, that's fine. I agree with you. Next year, you call up Carter Hart. Carter Hart has some shakiness because he's a rookie. Now you don't win a championship next year. Now you're not competing until the third year. Now Claude Giroux is 33.
Yeah, it's the same argument we had for Carson Wentz starting his first year.
Exactly. And how'd that work out?
You didn't want to push
it. You won a title the second year.
You did. Not because of Wentz, but well, I don't want to say not because of Wentz.
Carson Wentz got you to 12-2 or whatever you know, whatever you were at.
But it's the same argument. Instead of pushing the progression back a year.
I want everyone, if they're going to struggle, I want everyone to struggle this year so that next year nobody's struggling.
I also think they need another defenseman, but that's me.
Yeah, but this year you get AMAC off the books.
Yeah, right? That'll help.
Is after this season. Is it? That's after. I believe it's after this season. It might be two more years.
Also, there's something we got to talk about.
Just going back to Hart for 1 second. If he doesn't make the team, he goes to play for
Lehigh Valley. Okay. Yeah.
If Hextall can explain to
they're not the Philadelphia Phantoms anymore.
If Hextall can explain to me what benefit and what he will learn there and what part of his game will progress that he can't do in the NHL, then I'm all for him going.
I think the simple answer is ice time.
I don't even think that's a simple answer. I think it's the speed of the game is bigger in the AHL than it is in juniors.
In the WHL.
And it's also, he has to live like a professional now. He's not, you know, with juniors coaches. He's living on his own.
You don't live
with
a host family or your mom.
He's going to be a professional now. So the living situation is a little different.
And
so
Allentown is a little slower and less stressful than Center City.
The human element's there.
Yeah.
I think, but I'm for it. Bring him. Why not?
I also think it comes down to ice time because if he does play in the NHL, if he's your backup, he'll play 20 games, 25 maybe, depending on the health of the rest of your goaltending roster. In Lehigh Valley, he can play 55 games. So would you rather have him play? Like, would you rather have an MLB starter start 100 or start 40 games at the MLB level, or would you rather them start 120 at the AAA level?
I guess I'm not technically answering the question. I'd rather have my NHL team have the best chance to win every night.
Okay.
And I think that's Carter Hart.
But also, going back to Mike's point about this maybe not being a championship team this year, do you risk this kid only starting 20 games and not really growing as much as he could in Lehigh Valley?
I wouldn't only play him 20 games.
But I'm speaking realistically.
No, I understand.
They're not going to hand him the crease and say, here's 60 games. Here's how I see the season going.
He's not going to make the team. He's going to go to Lehigh Valley.
Yep.
He's going to play there for probably at least a third of the season.
Yep.
We're going to run into goaltending problems like we always do come November, December. He will get called up, and he will play probably two-thirds of the remaining games going forward.
Wow.
If he's good.
Okay.
If he's good.
I agree.
If he craps the bed, then no, then he'll play a lot less. That's how I see the season going.
I'd be okay with that because that allows him to get 20, 25 starts in Lehigh Valley. Yeah, yeah. And then
ultimately
you can come
50,
up,
60 starts for the year wherever you got him.
Even if, let's say Elliot Neuwirth is your tandem heading into the season. Let's say, knock on wood, that Neuwirth's healthy until December. Let's just say.
That's a lot of wood.
I wonder what the odds are for that.
I understand. They're probably very low. Let's just say he gets there. Carter Hart starts 2 out of every 3 games in Lehigh Valley. He gets his 15, 20, 25 starts. He comes up in December as your backup. Even if Elliot is your starter and Hart is your backup and plays on back-to-backs or when Elliot's played 3 or 4 games in a row, he still gets another 20-ish games at the NHL level. Now he's up to 40 for the season. That's fine. As a rookie, that's fine. In my opinion.
It's okay. I'd like to see a little bit more. And again, if he plays the way he has played, it's going to be more.
Right. Now
it'll be warrant-based.
One of the best things that could happen would be if, let's say this Neuwirth injury that we still don't really know much about, let's say this keeps him out for the first 2 weeks of the season, and you keep Hart up as your backup. Hart gets in. If Hart dominates, I'm not talking is good, is okay, is fine with split time with Brian Elliott. If he dominates, if he has 2 shutout periods,
he stopped at 38 out of 40.
Then it's his crease for the next decade. Once he gets here, he's here until he's not. If that makes sense.
Yeah, he's here as long unless he gives it up.
They're not gonna bounce him back and forth. Like when Neuwirth, like let's say in this imaginary scenario that Neuwirth gets hurt in December, Hart comes up, starts a game, dominates. Okay, now it's his crease. Now he's playing 3 out of every 4 games, or, you know, 4 out of every 6 games, you know, something along those lines.
Well, I think it'll take more than 1 or 2 good games for that to happen. But
I agree, but one gets you the chance for another.
Say it happens.
If you play well in the first game, coach will go back to you and give you a shot to keep it going.
Sure.
So let's say that happens. When Neuwirth comes back up, cut him. Send him through waivers. Trade him for a bag of hockey pucks. I don't care. Get rid of him. He's only got half a year left. Somebody will need a backup goalie.
Sure.
Right? Washington's in goalie trouble if Braden Holtby goes down, because I think their backup is Phoenix Copley. Who? Right? All the teams that are competing, Martin Jones goes down. Who's San Jose's backup?
Would have nothing to do with where I send Neuwirth or what I do with Neuwirth. I'm going to do with what needs to be done.
That's what I'm saying. Yeah. When he comes back to being healthy, get rid of him. Send him away. Send him as far away as possible.
Right.
That's what I'm saying. Or put him on waivers. Yeah. Try to send him to Lehigh Valley. And if someone claims him, great. It's whatever.
Fine.
That being said, I think they're going to be frustratingly patient with him.
I think that's got a good chance to happen.
And Hextall has a history of that,
yep.
Right? How many people are calling for Philippe Meyer to get called up this year?
A lot
of people.
Yeah.
Is there a chance he makes a squad opening day? Yeah. Do I think that chance is high? Not really.
No.
He's played well in the preseason. He hasn't played insane.
Yeah.
By the way, I think Vorobyev's making the team.
Yeah, I think so too.
The fact that he hasn't been cut yet, and they've cut, I think they're down to 25 forwards and like eight defensemen.
Back.
Yeah, Frost was one of the first cuts.
Yeah, he was.
I think him and Isaac Ratcliffe were the first cuts.
Yeah.
I'm not really surprised
by
that.
Neither am I. But I want to move to something a little more concerning.
Okay.
Yesterday, Saturday morning at practice, Sean Couturier left practice with a trainer following him.
Yeah, so it doesn't seem like something they're too worried about. It doesn't seem like something they're too worried about. I think they said they'll probably take it easy on him the rest of the preseason. Maybe he doesn't play until the last preseason game.
They didn't even mention like body part?
No. He just left.
I think the impression that people got was lower body.
As long as it's not knee.
That's lower body though.
I understand that, but there's more to your lower body than just your knee.
Right. I think people said they saw him limping a little bit. But that can be knee, that can be ankle, that can be hip, that can be foot, that can be groin. That can be a lot of things. If he's ready to go by the time the season starts, I'm not worried about
it. I wouldn't rush him.
No.
He's become a pretty valuable cog in that team.
Yeah. Remember,
and I don't bring him back until he's 100% healthy.
So I've been watching highlights because I'm at the point where I'm ready for hockey to start.
Absolutely.
I watched a full game the other night from 2012. It was April 1st, 2012, Flyers-Penguins. If you remember, they played twice in the last week of the regular season. And then in the first round of the playoffs.
That's
when we had
series,
that insane
right?
series, right, where Giroux had the shift.
Right.
That was the season where Giroux had 97 points. Sean Couturier was the third line center and was just glued to Evgeny Malkin back.
Yeah. Yeah.
And Malkin did nothing for either of those last two regular season games or really in the playoffs. And that's kind of when Sean Couturier got pigeonholed. That was his rookie season. And he kind of got pigeonholed as the defensive guy. Really, really good defensively. He'll win 65% of his defensive draws. Can't really do much offensively. And he held that mantra until this past year when he just went absolutely insane.
Yep.
And, you know, should have been was a Selke finalist.
He was a Selke finalist.
And is going to be in that conversation now forever because he hasn't lost his defensive capability.
No.
He's still very good. He played against the Crosby line in the playoffs. He's still your number one defensive center.
How old is Sean?
He's 6 weeks younger than me. He's 25 years old.
And off air, we had a conversation about hockey players turning 26 and they are what they are or they aren't what they are. So you can get better at 26.
Yeah,
sometimes the light bulb goes off.
Right. Well, and I think he had the offensive capability. But if you remember the last couple years, his line mates have been guys like Michael Raffel and mid-level guys.
That's definitely part of it. But it also, the 26-year-old Couturier physically is different than the 22, 23-year-old Couturier.
You
physically mature and you get better.
His line mates in that 2012 game, Max Talbot and Zach Rinaldo.
Yes.
Yeah, lovely.
How do you generate offense with that line?
You don't.
You can't.
You don't. You just shut down Malkin.
Last year, he played with Claude Giroux and Travis Konechny.
It definitely matters.
Like, I'm not saying he was done growing and it came out of nowhere. I think a lot of people saw the potential. He just wasn't given the opportunity.
Yeah, but now, do you really expect him to be a point-per-game player again?
No, absolutely not.
Like,
I would have been happy with a 65-point season. I would have been like, wow, this is a breakout.
You don't think he can be a point-per-game player?
No. He's just saying he was surprised. Because last year he was a point-per-game player.
No, I'm saying, do you think he's that player again? Was my question.
Do you
expect him to be there again?
I think a lot of it depends on who his line mates are.
Sounds like it'll be Konechny and Giroux.
No, I heard that they were rushing Giroux, Couturier, Simmons a lot in training camp.
I think yesterday, two
Has
days ago.
Has it shifted back to Konechny?
Yesterday, two days ago, it was,
That's phenomenal Konechny, to hear.
Konechny, Giroux, and some Couturier.
That's phenomenal to hear because early in training camp, Konechny was rushing with the third line.
Right.
Which, honestly, Lindblom, Vorobyev, Konechny sounds pretty good.
Yeah.
As a fast third line.
But now it'll probably be Simmons, Vorobyev, and
Which I like way more.
Yeah.
Because
who's slated to play third line center?
Mikhail Vorobyev.
Right now it's looking like it's going to be Mikhail Vorobyev.
Okay.
It could also be Jordan Wheel. It might be Scott Laughton. It's still kind of undecided.
Fourth line looks like it could be Wheel. And Laughton, maybe?
Rafa Wheel and Laughton with Wheel and Laughton taking draws.
Mm-hmm.
Well, one of the things that the Flyers have done is they like to have two guys on every line who can take draws. Right? On your first line, Giroux takes your draw. But if he gets kicked out, because the rest have been really picky, Couturier can come in and take a draw with no problem.
Mm-hmm.
On your fourth line, if Laughton takes a draw and gets kicked out, Wheel can come in and take a draw. It's not a big deal. You missed that a little bit on your second line because I don't think Voracek or Van Riemsdyk really take faceoffs.
No.
And then on your third line, Lindblom and Simmons, like, again, not really. But that is one of the things in the NHL now is...
But it's a luxury if you
teams
can
Teams are loading
it.
Up
you,
on
you shouldn't...
centers because the refs are getting so picky with tossing people out of faceoffs. Like, I think the Maple Leafs have, like, six or seven centers in their forward core.
Right.
And the four who play center, although, honestly, I think they're only going to run three lines this year.
Why not?
Like,
it's not easy to do.
Matthews plays 22 minutes. Tavares plays 22 minutes. Kadri plays 16 minutes. Oh, no. And then your fourth line is just your penalty killers.
It's going to be minimal, yeah.
They get one regular shift a game, and then they just play penalty kill time. Toronto's going to be scary, man. Offensively? Now, defensively, they have some shortcomings.
Yeah,
but Freddie Anderson's a good enough goalie. I think they're going to do some damage, honestly.
We'll see what the sum of the parts look like. The individuals, yeah, the talent, but we'll see how it meshes. I love their coach.
All right. Senior, you listened to our show last week about you heard our predictions on the Eastern Conference?
Yes.
Okay, what do you think? Who makes the playoffs out of the Atlantic and the Metro?
I think your predictions were fairly accurate. I mean, you never know what one of those teams is going to go from having the good year to having the great year. I do expect Washington. I think he was kind of on that. I do expect them to take a step back.
They're going
to
slip a little bit, yeah. I think the Flyers could.
One year older is not a huge deal, but I think there'll be a little bit of a hangover.
They lost their coach.
They tried to kick that door in for so long. I'm not necessarily sure that that's a bad thing. I wasn't his biggest fan. They finally kicked the door in. Sometimes when you finally kick the door in, you get pretty satisfied. And I think it's possible that they take a step back.
Ovi might show up day one still drunk. He had a busy offseason.
They still make the playoffs. They're not going to take that kind of step back.
If they're a little sluggish in September, in October, November, they'll kick it into gear in January.
Yeah. My biggest issue with your predictions was it seems you guys are still pretty high on Buffalo, and I just don't say it.
I didn't have them that high. I had them like fifth or sixth.
And earning a playoff spot.
I think they're in competition. I think your top three teams from either division are pretty much locked. The Atlantic, you have Tampa, Toronto, Boston.
And
in the Metro, you have Philly, Pittsburgh, Washington. And then you kind of have a scrum of mid-level teams, Buffalo, Columbus, New Jersey, maybe Carolina, depending on what kind of season they have, and then Florida. It's kind of that middle batch.
I think Florida is the best of that batch.
Yeah, I agree.
Significantly.
And I think Buffalo might be the worst of that batch. But I think if Buffalo snuck into the second playoff spot, it wouldn't be a world-beating surprise.
No.
I'd be shocked.
Okay.
I really would.
Well, the Atlantic also has the bottom feeders like Montreal, Ottawa,
You need to beat up on Montreal, Ottawa. Detroit.
Detroit, yeah. Those three bottom feeder teams, so.
Who are awful.
But you don't play them every night.
You play them a lot?
But not every night. You get, what, you play your division, what, 5 or 6 times each?
So you get
16 or 17 games against those three teams? That's probably 13 wins. That's a lot of free points.
I just, so far, I've seen Eichel as a mess.
He'll be better this year.
We'll see.
I haven't seen it yet.
How was he a mess? He was like a point per game player last year.
There's more to the game.
I understand there's more to the game. Sure.
He's also got Casey Mittelstadt now, where he's never really had help before. Right? Last year he had Ryan O'Reilly. But I get the impression Ryan O'Reilly didn't really take a leadership role. I don't think he mentored Eichel. And that's not a bad thing. I'm not trashing Ryan O'Reilly. I just didn't really get the impression that he was mentoring the kid.
You have Casey Mittelstadt. You have Sam Reinhart. You have
Rasmus Dahlin.
I was about to say Rasmus Dahlin, who the biggest problem was defense.
Yeah,
they just got Dahlin,
and it still is.
I mean, sure. Well, no, I think their biggest goal.
Right now, it's goaltending. They have no goalie. Robin Lehner's gone. They have
Wedgwood and
who's coaching the team. It's a nobody that hasn't proven anything.
No.
Okay. I mean, listen, I don't necessarily disagree with you.
Which I think is the Flyers' biggest problem.
I was going to say, Dave Haxtell is a nobody who hasn't proven anything.
It's a huge problem. Haxtell's a huge problem.
They also
traded for Jeff Skinner, too.
They did. I forgot that Buffalo added Jeff Skinner. Yep. For nothing, by the way.
There's a reason you got him for nothing.
No, because Carolina is stupid and doesn't know what they are.
I don't see Skinner as anybody's answer to anything.
He's a 30-goal scorer.
Somebody's got to be on the ice. When you stink, somebody has to be on the ice. When you're on the ice,
I've said that to Mike a couple times over the last week in conversation. Like,
doesn't make your
Dylan Larkin
good?
In Detroit.
Nice.
Someone's got to put points. Right. So, even if you're a bad team, if your team scores 100 goals, somebody's got to score a bunch of them.
Right. Now, getting back to the original question, the one part I did love about your prediction is Winnipeg.
Yeah. Yep.
I'm a Winnipeg guy through and through. I think they can definitely get there to the final and maybe win it.
What's their weakness?
They don't have one.
I don't really. Yeah, I mean,
they're bottom. The one thing
they may not have is that physical defenseman,
Dustin Byfuglien.
Okay, I'm not saying he isn't. I'm talking about a defensive.
Okay, you said physical defenseman, and I was like, excuse me,
a shutdown defensive guy. Okay. Along the lines of, you know, there aren't many Chris Prongers in the world. Don't get me wrong. I'm just saying that type of
Jacob Trouba's not bad.
It's not bad, but
Josh
it's not.
Morris is not
I mean,
bad.
I mean, a guy that when the other movers. Teams, yeah. when the other team's best forwards are on the ice, you got that defender who can control the game.
The
and
only
take
problem
the puck
is
out of the zone. That's
the only
one,
problem is
you're asking for their one weakness.
They don't have the best defensive core in their division.
Absolutely not.
Because you play with San Jose. That division's going to be a slugfest, man.
Yep. No, they're not in the same division as
they're
San Jose.
They're not.
No.
Okay, I'm sorry. They're so, in the
right?
Central.
Oh, wait.
Really?
Yeah,
they have
pretty,
to be.
No,
they,
pretty,
they have the, to be in the Pacific.
No, they're in the Central.
Okay.
So what makes you like the
but
Jets?
But even so, they're still not because Nashville's better than them defensively.
Yeah.
I thought you were going Nashville.
You're either going against Nashville or San Jose.
Yeah, I thought you were going Nashville when you said not the best defensive.
You don't have the best defensive core.
Yeah, Winnipeg's in the Central.
I think Nashville's coming back hungry. Sure. I think they're a little embarrassed by getting run over last year in the playoffs.
I think every team every year comes in hungry. You're competitive by nature and you want to win.
Which goes back to the whole playing with pride thing. You don't play with pride and play to win.
Sure.
What makes you so high on the Jets?
What makes me high on the Jets?
I agree.
They have a good goalie, a good defensive core.
They have Patrick Laine.
I've been telling them for a year there's six forwards that the Flyers could not crack their lineup.
Well, I don't know about the top six.
But I know you continue to disagree with me, but now you're all over the Jets.
Scheifele is one of the best centers in the league, and I'll die on that hill.
He is. He's terrific.
I do want to give you that.
Yeah.
And it depends on what you
plays
consider best.
Winning, he plays winning hockey.
Patrick Laine is great.
He's a beast.
Yeah, he is.
Blake Wheeler's one of the most
underrated
players
in
hockey.
I agree.
I absolutely love
Connor.
Kyle Connor is a stud.
I need to see a little more. I mean, he had, 20? No, he had like 40 goals last year, didn't he?
He had a 30, bunch.
35 goals.
And he's just young. And
he's 20 years
fast,
old, something like that.
Huge.
Yeah. No, he's a good player.
If he's playing second line minutes this year, he's going to have a really good year. I don't think he cracks the top line. But if he's playing on the second line, he's going to have a big year.
If either Connor or Laine were in a Flyer uniform, there would be posters in Philadelphia. These guys, they would be the poster boys of the team.
Well, maybe not in Philadelphia because Philadelphia doesn't acknowledge hockey. but
I disagree with that. But I,
only when they're good.
You know where I'm coming from. This show, exists.
No, we're not a hockey town. We're a Flyers town.
This show exists because the sports media does not.
We're not a hockey town. There is some truth. We're a Flyers town,
not necessarily a hockey town. That's true.
I think there are some people here who follow hockey, but I think the city as a whole follows the Flyers. And maybe the Penguins because we hate them. But like there's not the overwhelming NHL knowledge.
I would say only one out of four. Only one out of four Flyer fans are hockey fans. That's probably accurate.
I'd be willing to give you that number, yeah.
That's probably accurate.
Like name a third liner on the Dallas Stars. Right. And a lot of people in the city just can't do it.
Right.
Right, you might be able to pick out your Sagans and your Bens, but can you name a third liner?
Is
you
there know? A third liner?
Exactly.
I was just hoping that wasn't a test.
Mike and I actually did a little experiment on the phone a couple weeks ago where I would look at a team's roster and I would ask Mike to name seven of their forwards.
I had a decent.
Seven's a big number.
I did these. I think
seven, you're into third line. Seven's a big number.
And that's exactly where I picked seven, right? Because you can name the top six on most teams. And that third line was tough. And I got it on some teams.
Yeah.
You got it on the division rivals. You got it on the teams that we see a lot of, right? The Eastern Conference, you were pretty decent.
Now, I wasn't going to name seven on the Calgary Flames.
Right.
Like,
you crapped out at like four.
Yeah.
Anyway, you guys can play that game at home with your friends, leftwinglock.com. You can also find the show on Twitter at YWTPodcast. You can find me at K Collington and Mike at Mike_Gilletto. You can also find the show on Facebook, Instagram, Podbean, iTunes, Google Podcast, lastwordonsports.com, and also our YouTube page, which we're still kind of promoting, even though it hasn't really picked up too much traction. But we're working on it, and Mike's being super helpful right now checking Twitter.
My bad.
So before we go, Senior, what was your call for the Eagles game today, by the way?
27-16, maybe 31-16.
Okay.
Although so technically that's two predictions.
A pretty big Eagles win.
Yeah, right. I think so.
And
that game starts in about an hour.
Yeah, and Mike, what did you have?
21-13 Colts.
And I had 20-13 Birds.
There you go.
So you guys can let us know how wrong we were, because by the time this show goes out, the game will be over. So do so on Twitter, and until then, we'll see you next week.
Go Birds.